Heavenly Father, we just come into your presence today with thanksgiving, with praise. Father, as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, and we remember the good things that he brought to us as he came forth from the grave, we say, blessed, blessed, blessed be his name. May the name Jesus be blessed forever. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together with friends and with family, with brothers and sisters. Father God, be magnified during this time in our study. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious creation, this earth. And welcome to Balance Point. We at the Balance Point family wish to wish you a happy and blessed Resurrection Day. Oh, hallelujah. We just bless your name, Lord. And as today is Resurrection Day, we are going to be taking a small break from our regular set of studies in the book of Genesis, and we're going to take a look at the most unbelievable event in the history of man. Today, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are celebrating the fact that Jesus died for us, and he spent 3 days and three nights in the grave, and on the third day he rose again. Some find it hard to believe that this event actually took place, and you know what, that is not anything new. Because you see, even the disciples did not believe at first. Even those whom Jesus had spent 3 years with, walking the dusty roads of Judea, did not believe when Jesus rose again. Let's take a look at John chapter 20, verse 1. Beginning at John 20, verse 1. Now let's set the scene a little bit. Previous week, Jesus had come into Jerusalem riding a donkey, proclaiming himself to be the Mashiach Nagi, the Messiah, the King. And the people had been out yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then just a few days later, the same crowds that had been crying out Hosanna, the same crowds that had been laying palm branches down, that had been laying their cloaks down, the same crowd would be outside of the residence of the governor, Pontius Pilate, would be crying out, crucify him! Crucify him! And so they did. And so on the day of preparation, he was led outside of the city. And he was led to the place of the skull, Golgotha. In the Latin, Calvarion. Outside of the gates, where the sin offering would be made. Outside of the gates. And they crucified him. And he died there. And just to make sure that he was dead, the Roman soldier took the spear and plunged it into his heart. And out came blood mingled with water, and they knew that he was dead. And And Joseph and Nicodemus went to Pilate and asked for the body. All of their hopes, all of their dreams, all of the expectation died on that cross. And Satan thought that he had won. All the years that Satan had spent trying to thwart the plan of God, from the killing of Abel to the pollution of mankind's gene pool leading to the flood, to the filling of the land with the Nephilim, to the killing of the babies in Bethlehem. The enemy thought that he had won. The enemy thought that he had gotten away with it. And then, on the third day, there was a great earthquake, and the tomb where the Savior of the world was laying was opened. Now, that tomb was not open so Jesus could get out. That tomb was open so that we could get in. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early. Why'd she go to the tomb early? Well, the other gospels tell us that they were going to the tomb early so that they could put more spices onto the body. You see, the practice for burial in those days was they would wrap the body tightly. They would wrap the body almost mummy style, and they would pack the wrappings with spices because the body would begin to stink. And so Mary went to the tomb expecting to see a wrapped body, a body encased in 70 pounds of wrappings. 70 pounds of spices. She expected that after 3 days, surely the body would stink. And so she went to the tomb early while it was still dark. Some say, oh, well, it was dark. She didn't know where the tomb was, except for the fact that 3 days before, Joseph, Nicodemus, when they lay the body of Jesus in the tomb, were followed by the women, by Mary Magdalene, by Mary, the mother of Cleopas. They were followed, so they knew where the tomb was. And when she got to the tomb, she saw that the stone had been taken away. Now, the other gospel accounts tell us that as they were going to the tomb, there was the earthquake. The other gospel accounts tell us that as they got to the tomb, they saw a man clothed in shining white clothing with a face that shone as the sun, who announced to them, "Why do you come looking for the living among the dead? For Jesus is risen." The other gospels tell us that because of the earthquake, because of the stone being rolled away, the men that the chief priests had put there to guard the tomb were there shaking with fear. Verse 2, and then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that other disciple being John. And he said, and she said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. Now the angel had told the women that Jesus had risen. The angel had told the women that Jesus was going to go into the Galilee as he had instructed, and that he would meet them there. Even the women who had witnessed the empty tomb, even the women who had spoken with the angels, did not believe. And Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stopped, and he, stooping down, looked in, and the linen clothes were laying there. Now they were not laying there like Jesus had been unraveled. They were laying there like they had been deflated, like the body had just went out of the linen clothes. And yet he did not go in. And Simon Peter came and following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around the head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. And he saw and believed. He saw and believed. That means that there was a point when the women had come and said, Jesus is not in the tomb. There was a point when the women had come and said, he is risen, that they did not believe. Today, there are many who are listening to this message and messages just like this who do not believe, who are like Thomas, who wasn't with the 11 when Jesus appeared to them. And Thomas said, unless I see it with my own eyes, unless I place my fingers in the nail prints of the hands, unless I thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. There are many who do not believe. For as yet, verse 9 tells us, for as yet they didn't know the scripture. Even though Jesus had been telling them for the better part of a year and a half that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to suffer many things, that he was going to be beaten, that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to be crucified, and that he'd rise again on the third day. Because they didn't know the scriptures, that he would rise from the dead, they didn't believe. You see, that's the challenge. That's the challenge that we all have. You see, it's difficult to believe. Why? Because we don't know the backgrounds. We don't understand the scripture. And because we don't understand the scripture, we come to this resurrection day with natural expectations. You see, it is not natural for a dead body to get up and walk. You see, Jesus is the only religious figure to have gotten up out of his grave. You can go to the grave of Muhammad, and he is still there. You can go to the grave of Buddha, and he is still there. You can pick any religious figure and go to their grave, and they are still there. The expectation is dead men don't walk. And yet this dead man did walk. And it is important to us that this dead man walked. Because you see, if this dead man did not walk, then everything we do is for naught. Everything we do is for nothing. You see, if there is no God, then all of this stuff is meaningless. Why bother living? Why bother doing? Why bother going on? Certainly don't waste your time reproducing. But if there is a God, but he doesn't care, none of this matters. Because we're here today and we're poof gone tomorrow. If there is a God, but Jesus was not a man, none of this matters. Because there's no payment for sin. There's no relief for the penalty of sin. If Jesus was a man, but he did not rise again bodily, there's no hope. Because then there's no proof that God kept his promise. And after all, how can we trust a God who makes promises but doesn't keep them? No, let me tell you, there is a God, and he loved us enough that he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus became a man. And that man died. And the efficacy of his death, the potency of his sacrifice is proven by the rising of his body. What proof? One, the grave was empty. Two, over the next 40 days, he appeared to groups as small as one and two, and to a group as large as 100. Three, when Jesus was crucified, the disciples were afraid. They were afraid that they were going to die. They were afraid that they had believed in a lie. And yet, after the resurrection, these same disciples who had been afraid, who had been hiding, became bold proclaimers. 11 of the 12 died martyrs' deaths. If they knew that it was a lie, they would not have died a martyr's death. If they knew that it was a lie, they would have taken the pinch of incense and offered it to Caesar and said, "Yes, Caesar's Lord." No, the proof is in the lives of those that were left behind. The proof is in the lives of those that have come within the last 2,000 years. Before the Christian era, there was no such thing as mercy for the lame and the sick. It is a Christian who invented the hospital. It is a Christian who took in the widows and the orphans. Until the Christian era, these things were unknown or very rarely known amongst the civilizations of the time. Do you want proof that Jesus is risen again? Look no further than to the deeds of the true church. I'm not talking about people who use the name of Christ to get over on people. I'm not talking about those who use the name of Christ to fulfill their own envious and greedy, perverse needs. No, I'm talking about those who may not even mention the name of Christ, and yet, by their actions, by their activities, by their language, they show that they are followers of Christ. You see, today it's easy not to believe the resurrection, because there's a belief that man is basically good. And all you need to do to disprove that is simply watch the evening news. Now, I won't go as far as to say that man is totally evil. However, because of the stain of sin, man is selfish, which is the exact opposite of Jesus, who, being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to seek glory, but instead he emptied himself. When's the last time you saw a man empty themselves? It doesn't happen. It's easy to not believe the resurrection because today there's the Jesus myth. There's this mythical Jesus that was created by popular culture. This mythical Jesus that was created by bad and wrong teaching within the church. That kind of makes Jesus come off like the Lucky Charms leprechaun. He's just here to make your breakfast magically delicious. It's easy today to disbelieve in the resurrection because there's this feeling that, yes, Jesus was real. He was a great teacher. He had some neat things to say. But he didn't die for our sins, and he certainly didn't rise again. Well, here's the reality. Jesus was a real man. And he was really God. Jesus really did live and walk the dusty roads of Judea. And Jesus really did die for my sins, for your sins. That's the reality. But more importantly, and of equal power, is the fact that Jesus didn't stay dead. Unlike Buddha, unlike Muhammad, unlike Krishna, unlike Confucius, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. But Jesus is alive. And his grace and his love is available to me and to you. Why? Because God made us. God loves us. But we have a challenge. And that challenge is called sin. The disease is called sin. And it has a mortality rate of 100%. But see, God doesn't want us to be separated from himself. And so the power of sin had to be broken. And the power of sin was broken on the cross. But that's not enough. Because God wants us to be with him forever. And so death had to be overcome. And death was overcome when Jesus rose from the grave. And because Jesus is risen from the grave, our life is restored. What if the cross and resurrection didn't happen? What if? Well, if the cross and resurrection didn't happen, then life as we know it is meaningless. Hope as we know it is fruitless. Faith as we know it is worthless. But thanks be to God that the cross happened. Thanks be to God that the stone was rolled away. Thanks be to God that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, there are those listening to this message who may go, well, great, Dan, but how does that affect me? It affects you this way. Jesus and the Father are saying, I love you, and I want you to become part of the family. This isn't about joining a church. This isn't about joining Balance Point. But this is about taking advantage of something that God has made available. God has made eternal life available. And all you have to do is something very simple. Because the debt has been paid, all you have to do is accept the gift. And accepting the gift is very simple. The scriptures tell us, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it's with the mouth that one makes confession, and with the heart one believes. This is Easter Sunday. I want to explain this to you because there are some theological words in there. What's confession? Confession is a very simple concept. It comes from the Greek word homologeo. It means to say the same thing as. We're going to say the same thing about ourselves that God has already said about us. First, God has said, I love you. God loves us. Even though we are caught up in sin, even though we are dirty, God loves us. Secondly, God says that because of sin, we're separated. We can't be in his presence. Thirdly, God says, we can't repay. So fourthly, God says, I will pay it for you through my son Jesus. Fifthly, we can't do anything to earn it. It's a gift. So if you have never put your trust in the gift, or maybe at one point you walked with Jesus and you were trusting in Jesus, but you walked away. Today is the day, and you're the person, you'll make the choice, and God will make the change. Pray with me this prayer, and if you mean it from your heart, and if you believe it with your heart, you're saved. Father God, thank you for loving me. I fall short. I make mistakes. I sin. And because of that, I know that I can't be with you. Father, there is nothing that I can do to make up for my sin. But thank you that you have paid for my sin through your son, Jesus. I accept the gift of eternal life that's been given to me by your Son. Now send your Holy Spirit to help me live a life that is pleasing to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. If you have prayed that prayer, let me tell you, God accepts you into the family. And I want to welcome you as a brother into the family. So what's your next step? Honestly, your next step is you need to get plugged into a healthy family of believers. And if you would just get in contact with us, we will help you to do that. Up on the screen, you will see our contact information. You can email us at staff@balance-point.org. You can contact us by doing a search for Balance Point Church on Facebook, and you can message us through our Facebook page. You can contact us through Google Plus or through YouTube at Balance Point Church, and you can message us there, or you can even mail us at 1998 East Ora Street, Willowbrook, California, 90222. Contact us. And we will, if we know of a church that's a good, solid church, we will put you in contact with that church. And if not, we will invite you to become part of the Balance Point family. This isn't about growing Balance Point, but this is about growing you into the best person that God desires for you to be. Now I just have a few announcements, and then we're gonna have a closing word of prayer. First announcement is live worship. We do worship live on the first and third and fifth Sunday of the month. And if you'd like to join us for live worship, you can just email us at staff@balance-point, or you could use one of the contact points. We'll get you the information for how to get here, parking and all that fun stuff. And you could join us live here in Willowbrook, California. If you were too far away from Willowbrook to make it in person, again, we are live every Sunday morning at 9:30. And you can join us in our virtual sanctuary at balance-point.churchonline.org. That's balance-point.churchonline, all one word, churchonline.org. And we are live in the worship center there. On the second and fourth Sunday, we usually pre-record the service. And if you were part of one of the Balance Point small groups, that's an opportunity for you to hear the message and have an opportunity to discuss the message within a local group. And again, even those messages are available at balance-point.churchonline.org, or if you want to get to it at our YouTube channel at Balance Point Church, you can catch them there. If you don't have a church home, you really should have a church home. And we would love to consider having you as part of the Balance Point family. And doing that is as simple as going to our ministry center at www.balance-point.org. Register with proper contact information so we can get in touch with you. And we will get in touch with you just so we can go over who we are, what we do, why we do it, how we do it, what we believe. And if you are in agreement with, you know, how we manifest the body of Christ, you'll be welcome to join us as part of the Balance Point family. If you need prayer, we are a praying church, and getting prayer is as simple as messaging us through one of those methods, or you can send a message directly to our inbox for prayer, which is prayer@balance-point.org. prayer@balance-point.org. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to come into agreement with you about your needs and your desires. And so prepare to receive the blessing. And now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the grave. Go in new life and new grace to love and serve the Lord. Amen and amen.